Our first reading is found in the books of Acts in the 18th chapter. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And there he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. Every Sabbath, he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. Here ends the first reading. Our second reading shifts. By this time, Paul has established the church in Corinth with his two good friends, and they have moved on. And he writes this in the 10th, first verse, first chapter, I should say, 10th verse. Now, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement and there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's peoples that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except for Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did also baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with elegant wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here ends our readings. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, Lord Jesus, our Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, our Advocate. Amen. How often do you long to hear two little words, you belong? We want to hear these two little words from our employers, from colleges, from friends, from family, and even more. We want to know exactly where we fit in life. But I also think it's a little bit more than that. I think it's because we want to be known and we want to know others. And for many of us in the sanctuary today, we want to belong to God. We want to feel that. And I don't know about you, but one day when I get to see Jesus, I want him to say to me, "You are mine." Been doing some research on friendship, and I ran across this quote by C.S. Lewis. He said, "Friendship is born at the moment when one man turns to another and says, 'What? You too? I thought I was the only one,' and fill in the rest of the blanks." So today, we find Paul on the road, and he's traveling once again. And along the way, he meets this married couple. He meets Priscilla and Aquila. And these three discover that they have, first of all, one thing very much in common. They're all tent makers. They all have the trade, the vocation of being a tent maker. Maybe that's why Paul decided to stay with them when he moved to Corinth. Maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was because they said, "Come stay with us because we want to hear more about this Jesus Christ." Maybe it was because Paul could identify with being a Jew and being kicked out of Italy by Emperor Claudius in the year 52 CE. Think about your own friendships for a second. Did you meet your friend at school or at work, or were they just happened to be your neighbor? Do they still live there? Or have they moved across the globe? And for us, we have such an easier time of being connected to one another because we have cell phones and we have Facebook and think of all those other ways. We don't just have to rely on this occasional letter or the occasional phone call. And also, we can stay in touch with our friends that are halfway around the globe with ease. So whatever the reason is, Paul and Aquila and Priscilla developed a bond, and they became tent makers together. But they became something much more than that. They became ministry members. They were a team in ministry together, and they went out as a team and preached the good news. And this really must have been kind of an odd thing in that era. Because see, Priscilla, as a woman, had no value other than what her husband or father thought she was worth, right? Let alone to hear her preach. And I'm like going, oh, so glad that doesn't apply to us with me being a seminary student. And then I realize, wait a minute, there are some churches today that I would not be welcomed in to preach simply because I'm a woman, whether it's another denomination of Christianity or a small sect. But it's interesting, here we have this trio, this team, in an interesting place and time who go out into the world to share the good news. Now, this year in confirmation, we've been studying the New Testament, and I'm glad to say we just finished a unit on Paul. So we've talked about Paul, we've talked about his letters, we've talked about his theology. And recently one of the students came to me and said, you know, those people, they have the same kind of struggles in faith that we do today. And then we have talked about the Corinthians and the Galatians and others, how they all seem to want to belong, but they just don't quite get it. They're struggling. And now we're in Corinth, kind of think Las Vegas resort town of its day. And there were struggles. Now these struggles are understandable. Consider this. You're a Jewish early Christian follower, and there's changes happening. And soon you spread the news from you to the eastern regions. And now the news spreads over here to the pagans, to those Gentiles. But there's still struggles, and there's tensions. And it began really heavily in Corinth. Now, in confirmation, the kids and I have talked about the city of Corinth, what it would be like. And I have described it like Las Vegas and a resort. In Corinth, you had all these retired Russian soldiers who have a lot of money. Retire there. You also have the slaves and the servants who join the church who have no money. And then you have all of those people in between and the struggles that happens between the different groups of people. And I thought, huh, it's kind of like a modern U.S. city. We have some people that have an extreme lot of money, we have those who have nothing, and we have everybody else in between. And Corinth was known as Sin City, so if you were going to go vacationing and you wanted to go gamble, this is where you would go, and you would go to the pagan temples there because they had way too many of them. And then, of course, you would visit the pagan prostitutes, and then you would, well, you kind of get the picture, right? And I wonder if their visitor convention bureau would go, let's have a new slogan. What happens in Corinth stays here in Corinth, or not. But I think something else deeply is happening. Remember I said that there were struggles with those early Jewish believers? They're figuring out this new salvation. It's not the salvation that they've grown up with. It's new. They're trying to figure out, what does this mean in my life and for my faith? For instance, how do my daily actions get out of me fully living into this grace of God, into this true freedom that salvation brings me? And the pagan converts also have issues because they have customs, they have practices, they have rituals that they have grown up with, and they suddenly are supposed to get rid of them and act this other way. Yet they still hear the call of God's grace found in the promise to us. So they're going, how do we navigate this faith? How do I get rid of all these things that are so dear to my heart? How do we get along? Going back to Paul now. Originally, he stayed in Corinth 18 months, and he established the church, and he worked with his good friends, and the three of them built up this church, and then Paul felt the call to leave, and he took with him Priscilla and Aquila. And I'm sure this church is going, "Don't leave, we need you here, we still don't get this, we need you desperately." But no, off they go, and they go to Ephesus, start a new church there. And eventually Paul leaves them as well as he continues spreading the good news. But back in Corinth, all those questions, all those troubles that were kind of dying out are bubbling back up to the surface. So they did the natural thing. They decided to write. So they send a letter to Paul, and back and forth goes a volley. How do we do this? How do we do this? Can you solve this problem? What color should we put in the carpeting floor in the sanctuary? Should we be playing the organ, or should we be playing the piano? Or whatever other problems we ask each other now. All those little things that we argue about. No, actually what they're talking about is they were arguing about belonging, trying to figure out how do we belong. They were arguing about who baptized who, and oh, I prefer this preacher to that preacher. And these divisions were starting to run deep within the church. But Paul argues to them, stop it. Just go to church and listen to the message because you're not getting it. Thought some more about friendships, arguments. How many of you ever have fought with a sibling or a spouse or your best friend? And I came across one of my favorite cartoons that I forgot about. It's a Peanuts one. Linus is sitting in the house, he's watching TV. In walks Lucy and demands that he changes channels on the television for her. And Linus says, "What makes you think that you can walk right in here and just take over?" "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this, single unit, it becomes a form of a weapon. And it's a terrible weapon to behold." "Okay, what channel do you want?" asks Linus. And turning away, he goes, looks at his hands, and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" And I think about my fights with my siblings, or the almost fight with Steve last night. And I'm like, yep, that sounds about right. So often our fights are based on assumptions and misunderstandings, and it's often over little things like the carpeting. And then I was thinking, but we also fight about other things. I heard the news last night, and of course there was some argument going on in the presidential campaigns, and I wondered about if we thought, I belong to this presidential candidate or this one. I belong to this party or that one. And to me, it sounds a lot like these early churches saying, well, I belong to whichever preacher they liked best or whoever baptized them. And I thought Paul's response in this letter was actually very different. I tend to associate Paul with kind of this brash, like, do this type of thing. But actually, his response back was deeply pastoral, deeply caring for them. And today we only hear a little tidbit of that response. He tells us it doesn't really matter who's preaching. Go, hear the word, listen to what God's promise and grace is for you in life. The power of a crucified God was very countercultural for those ancients. And even for us today, it's a little hard to figure out a guy that would just totally sacrifice himself for us. So we've been given this new life in Christ, but this gift, it requires a change from us. Our society, it celebrates freedom, individualness, happiness, and when you get a gift, you say, what's in it for me? But we have a choice to make. We can heed God's call, and we can belong to God. We know that this gospel message that we get, it impacts our daily life. It comes in new creations. It comes in tying our hearts together in Christian love and Christian unity. And then we belong together in Christ. So then on this fifth Sunday of Easter, we can proclaim as a unit that we belong when we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.